Good morning, His Place. How's everyone doing? Life is fabulous. Things are good. Body's working great. Everything's good, huh? All right. Well, I'll tell you what, we're in Thanksgiving. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing more. We're going to finish up the series today. Pray. It's more than you can imagine. And I'll tell you, you can be thankful. In fact, I think we need to be thankful that we can pray to God and that He hears and listens to us, not like people do, and that He'll answer every prayer we have. And sometimes our communication with God, in this series I've been trying to break down some of the barriers we sometimes self-impose or we believe we have to have. Certain acts of our life in order to pray, and we have to go we have to have this whole dynamic set up to talk to God. I want to break that down today because the Holy Spirit lives in you. If you have Jesus, the Holy Spirit is with you. You are not informing Him of anything about your life that He is not fully aware of. He is in you and with you. And so our prayer life needs to be maybe changed a little in the aspect of you don't have to prepare yourself to go to God. He's right with you. I know some of us have this idea that we have to, make sure we're all cleaned up and that we get, all our P's and Q's are in order and that we've kind of got our act together and that we come into speaking to the Lord in a very reverential, and we have to set this dynamic up, and that God is really busy. So if I do go to Him, I got to word it in such a way that He'll understand the importance of this issue and that He can respond appropriately, and thankfully I can give Him the way to respond, and so we can all work together on this. And we have these ideas about God, and you know what, I just want to shatter that with you today, is that God is not like a person that has a bunch of stuff that they're really busy with, and He carries no baggage into the relationship. He has no issues. And when He listens to you, He hears every word and He knows every motivation. He knows everything about the whole situation. And not only does He know everything, He understands it. And because sometimes we put God down to the level of fellow human beings. And for those of us that are in relationships, and one of the most common things I see when dealing with couples is that they miss one another in the communication. Sometimes in my office, when a couple comes in, and it's a little bit different than an individual, because when there's an individual, that I'm dealing with what they say. But when there's a couple, I'll usually ask them, what's going on here? And they usually will look at each other to, you go first, you go first. And so whoever goes first starts to reveal what the issue is. Now, oftentimes, I don't know their backgrounds. I don't know their stories. I don't know their history. So a lot of times I'll ask before we really get anywhere, what's your story? Why? Because without the story, you have no context. And that's the beautiful thing about speaking to God, is He has context. He understands. He called you. He had you in His mind before anything was ever created. He knew what generation you'd be in, what family you'd be in. He knows your story. He knows it better than you do. So I'll sit there and I'll say, the person will start sharing. And then really what I'm doing is watching the other person's response. Because if their response is eyes rolling and, now I know they got deep issues. What that tells me is they don't respect one another. And when there's not respect, there is not much listening going on. And so I share that with you because God is not like that. He is not bored with you repeating the same thing. He knows everything about where you're at, and He hears every word. He's got a plan that you don't even know about that he's already operating in. He's got his fingerprints over the whole situation. He understands everything. He is deeply concerned and he will respond. Much of God's response comes from the Word of God. It's written for us so that we can keep going over it and learning. So in order to understand our story, and that's why oftentimes I share the story of man and woman, of what happened to us, so that we understand what God is doing in the big picture. So in order to understand the situation of prayer and the connection to the Holy Spirit who is given to us and will never leave us nor forsake us, we need to understand the context of our human story. And as I've shared with you many a times, and I will for the rest of your lives here in this church, is that God created man and woman. He created them whole in every way. They were connected. They were connected. If anybody's ever been in any type of relationship, you know that the primary problem we always struggle with is communication. Communication and the depth of that communication depends on the depth of the connection. You can only be really hurt by those who you are connected to in a deep way. But so man was connected to God. Human beings were connected to God. They were connected to themselves. They were okay in their own skin. They were connected to one another. Adam and Eve, it says, were naked. The word naked in the original context has to do with the idea of transparent. There was nothing to hide. There was no shame. There was no guilt. There was no feelings of inadequacy. There was not an issue of acceptance. They knew they were accepted by God. They were completely accepting of themselves. And they accepted one another, and they were accepting of the environment. They were connected to the environment. God placed them in the garden, told them to tend it, to manage it, to take care of it, to flourish. And they had that going on. They were connected in the spiritual realm. They walked with God during the day. They also had relationship with the enemy. They could talk to him. They saw him. They experienced him. Earth and heaven, this natural and the supernatural, were connected. There was no division between them. They operated holistically. And then they became disconnected. God gave them the opportunity to disconnect. Because you cannot really have a love relationship if you cannot disconnect. If you cannot disconnect from a relationship, that's not a relationship, that's a hostage situation. And some of us have been in relationships where we've been hostages or we've taken hostages. God is not like that. It's a love relationship, so he had to give an out of the relationship if they so desired. And they were tricked into thinking that there was a better thing out there. And so they broke the relationship with God. Scripture defines it as in the word called Ichabod. When they broke that relationship by the eating of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, so that means they could decide, instead of trusting the God who made them to give them wisdom in what is good and bad, they said, nah, we'll decide what it is. And God said, that's a bad choice. Because I know the result of that. That one choice will lead you into millions of choices. And your propensity will be to choose wrong because you don't know enough. You're lacking in that ability. Stay connected to me. They said, nah, we won't. The enemy enticed them. They took that. And Ichabod means the Spirit of God lifted. They immediately felt, for the first time, see, you and I are born disconnected from God. We search many, many years in our lives. Some when we're little, we find God. Some when we're much lower, we search for connection. We try to be connected to others. We try to figure out what will connect us, make us fine our skin. That's why we start drinking. We drink and all the insecurities and inferiority stuff starts to drop away and I can feel like I'm a little bit more, I'm okay. Problem is, it's fake, leads to other stuff, and it doesn't fix the problem. It just adds problems to our life. We get connected to the legal system. And other stuff. And so they felt the Spirit of God leave them. They immediately felt not okay. And then they were not okay with each other. And the scripture says they ran, they hid, they took leaves and covered themselves. First time they ever experienced. First time humans ever experienced shame and rejection. Shame and something not right. Shame and guilt. You and I experience shame from the time we're little kids. We experience guilt. We experience rejection. We long to, one of the greatest human desires is to be accepted and loved. And so we work hard in our broken state to do things to be accepted. In fact, we'll get into relationships and completely lose ourselves to try to find that acceptance. And we'll work hard at it. And we can't get it. So Adam and Eve, they did that. Then God found them. You never find God. They became disconnected also from the environment. By hard labor now, they would have to till the soil. Instead of things producing, they would have to work hard to produce. And then they were told that death would enter. Ultimate separation from God's design. They would be removed from the earth. We were designed body, soul, and spirit. That was God's design. That's why we believe as Christians we will get our bodies back after death. Because even in heaven, we're not complete till we have our bodies. And that's why in the end of Revelation, it says that He will make a new heaven and a new earth. They will once again be reconnected. And the analogy John gives in that picture is that when he saw this thing taking place that would take place some point in the future, he said it looked like a wedding to him. It looked like heaven coming down was the bride and the groom was the earth, and they were going to be united again as one. It's not that way now. That's why we do not see the heavenlies at this point. We will enter into them, but through prayer, we can pierce that veil and come right into the throne room of God. And not only that, God pierced the veil into the natural, and He lives in this human being. That was His promise. So we're going to be focusing today on that. And then in that, in the relationship and the communication, which is through the Holy Spirit. So God, way back in the day, said, I will bridge that gap. That thing that was broken between us, I will fix it. And that's where Jesus comes in. And then after Jesus comes in and connects us back to God the Father, Jesus and God the Father say, now we will send God to live in you. He will never, ever again be separated from you in presence. He will be with you. So that's what I want to spend some of our time today looking at, is you need to understand that when you talk to God, He's right in here. You don't have to prepare yourself. Can you imagine the Holy Spirit watching you do all these gymnastics to prepare yourself to talk with Him when He's right here? See, an intimate relationship has good communication. A relationship that is faltering has poor communication and progressively poor communication. And that's what separates. Communication will unite. And God's desire is to be at one with us and to communicate. And He wants to communicate. Usually if people tell me, Joe, I'm not you know, I feel God's presence. I don't know where God is. It's because your fellowship with God, not His presence. If you believe if you're in the Lord, the presence of God, He said He will never leave us. He's guaranteeing to be with us. What you break is fellowship. Just like in a relationship, you can be married, but you can live separately because there's no connecting point. Although presence, you're in the same house, you're present together, but the relationship has been damaged in the fellowship arena. That's why forgiveness is such a big deal. You cannot be in a love relationship without forgiveness. It's impossible. You will hurt one another. And not only that, we will hurt God, and I'll get to that. We can hurt God in our relationship. So this love relationship that God has for us, and that's why love is the fulfillment of the law. God loves us. And so he's come to live with us. Tells us in Romans 5:5, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. What is the hope? For we know how dearly God loves us. Why? Because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. If you're walking around and you have Jesus and you're feeling like God ain't loving you, you're listening to the wrong voice. You're not listening to the voice of God. You're listening to some other voice. The Holy Spirit will affirm that you are loved by God. Love is the fulfillment of the law. And so love, though, requires some actions. Now in 1 Ephesians 1:13, he says this. And now you Gentiles, and he's speaking to, this is available to anyone. You have also heard the word of truth, the good news. What's that? That God loves you and that God has made a way to reconnect. Once we reconnect with God, then the process starts of the Holy Spirit reconnecting us to everything else in life. He says that God saves you. And that word save, I did a funeral yesterday and everybody had punk shirts on, punk rock shirts on, and I know that I knew there were some people in there who didn't really know the Lord, I don't know if you guys ever know, but punk's not about connection. Punk rock is about anger, disappointment, separation, and we're mad about it. And you know, those of us that have been in the punk scene, and that's not me, I was in the rock and roll scene, but God's seen fit to bring punkers to me because he says, Joe, you like angry people. Come here. Have I got some people for you? After a while, it's like they're angry and it's like, well, what are you angry about? I have no idea. I've just been that way so long. It's what I'm supposed to be. And so anyway, where did that go in here? And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago, way back. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him, so that the relationship would be one of uplifting. Wouldn't it be awesome in the natural if every relationship we had was one of uplifting? If we lifted up each other. We are so disconnected in this world that most of our relationships are all about the disconnection. From our music to everything else. How many of us can't even take compliments? Someone gives you compliments and you pat it down. But they say a word of criticism, embrace! And repeat it over and tell ourselves that story over and over and over again. We have to change the story we tell ourselves. We have to start telling ourselves the same story that the Holy Spirit tells us. And that's what he says in Romans 8:15. He says, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. You haven't received a spirit that makes you fearful of everything. Afraid to step out. And I know, see, for everyone in here, we're brave in certain areas. We've done some brave, oftentimes stupid, but nonetheless brave, sometimes ridiculous, and stuff. But when it comes to doing some of the stuff that's good for us, we walk in this fear. Hey, you know, if you learned a lot more about how to communicate, that would be a real blessing to you and all the people you're involved in. Yeah, no, I already know. Yeah, but the problem with that story is nobody else agrees with it. They don't say that's a good story. They say that's a problem. So either you're right and they're wrong, or they're right and you're wrong. Do you want my input? He says, listen, we haven't received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. Now we call him family. Family. And that's sometimes what trips us out with God, because we put God down to the level of human families. And I know it's Thanksgiving. Some of us have to gear up to go see the family. Even now, thinking about it, you start sweating. And it starts to become, you know, oh God. Well, we put that same jacket on God. That somehow, even though I'm in his family, I'm the disappointment to the family. I'm the embarrassment to the family. I'm the one that everyone points at in the family. I'm less than, but I'm in the family. God isn't like that. He says he didn't make you a fearful slave to some preordained situation that your family put on. You are loved of God. And he loves you so much he gave you his Holy Spirit. And you can communicate with this Holy Spirit in what we call prayer. And that's simply what communication is to the God who inhabits us, is prayer. He says this, for his spirit joins with our spirit. So you need to check your spirit to make sure your spirit is affirming the same thing the Holy Spirit affirms. That you can do all things through Christ. That he's called you to do. You can't do all things. You and I have different sets of giftings. We have different abilities. We have talents. We have different proclivities for different types of stuff. My grandson, the three-year-old, thinks I can fix anything. So I'm going to play out that lie as long as possible. He thinks I'm a hero. Most people go, Joe, give me the screwdriver. When I say a Phillips, it's the one with the point. I can fix things, but not like he thinks I can. He thinks I'm brilliant. Papa can fix it. Even this morning, the guy's up before the crack of dawn. And he meets me when I'm getting up on Sunday. It's like, that's early. Yeah, and another thing I've noticed with these kids, you probably know some of you have kids too. What's the deal on Saturdays? They don't sleep in. Getting them up for school? Oh, that's a tug of war. Saturdays? Boom, up. Teeth brushed, pops, ready for the day. What are we doing? Well, we're sleeping into 7 for one thing. But they're ready to go. What does that have to? Is that in that scripture somewhere? It affirms that we are God's children. Listen, I know my kids, and now the second round of kids, because I'm in relationship with them. The Holy Spirit, whom God has given you, knows you inside and out. And loves you and has promised to never leave you. And not only promised never to leave you, he will deliver you to heaven. It's his job to do that. Yeah, but what if I'm not walking right with God? Well, then the Holy Spirit's going to have some business with you. What if I die not walking with God? Then the Holy Spirit's job is still his job. The Holy Spirit never gives his job to you. Only dysfunctional families put the parents' job on the kids. And some of us have been in those types of families. But the heavenly family, no dysfunction. Except for us, the kids. And that's what the Holy Spirit does from the moment you come to him till he delivers you to heaven. And even then he will never leave you. Forever he will be with you. He is the perfect parent. So he says this, for his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. All that God has is ours. All that God owns will be part ownership of ours. We will have part ownership in that. You need to understand what we have. And we can talk to God about anything at any time. And he has promised to give us power. He has promised to be with us. He has promised to give us wisdom. He has promised to strengthen us. Because see, even when the Holy Spirit teaches us, we still need power to carry it out. And in fact, to obey the Holy Spirit still takes power. His power to coordinate us to obey. You need to speak to the Holy Spirit. I mean, there have been times I'm praying to God about help me out of this situation. And the Holy Spirit knows you're going to do it right again. And it's like, yeah, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to get up from praying to you or laying in bed wherever I'm praying to you and or driving or whatever. And I know I'm going to walk out and judge people right off the bat like that clown that just drove by. I judge people, especially driving. I even know ethnicities driving. Oh, I know what kind of person's driving that car. You do too, eh? Listen, because we have the Holy Spirit, we have the ability to hurt God. You cannot be in a relationship without the ability to hurt someone. In fact, listen to what Ephesians 4:30 says. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The NLT says it this way. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own. That's your identity, His own. Guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. That word grieve or sorrow is a significant word. It comes from an old language, the Greek language, denotes it as this. It's a pain or a grief that can only be experienced between people who deeply love each other. See, you can only truly grieve someone who you deeply love. You can only be grieved by someone whom you deeply love. You can only bring that kind of pain. And so the Holy Spirit who lives in us is grieved when He sees us do things that harm us, that harm others, that are detrimental to His family, that cause pain and cause misunderstanding about God's family. He is grieved. And that is why sometimes when we go sideways, we lose the feeling of God in our lives. Put it to any relationship you have that when someone does something to hurt the relationship, fellowship, the presence isn't broken, the Holy Spirit will never leave us. Fellowship is broken. And so the ability to communicate is harmed. And because the Holy Spirit will never leave us nor forsake us, He is pained by that. He is deeply grieved. And so He will work to reconcile that. And that's why forgiveness is necessary for all relationships. When I refuse to forgive, or when someone refuses to forgive me, I can no longer be in relationship with them. It cannot, the relationship cannot be reconciled. It cannot be bridged. So God, think of this. God, way back when He made human beings, knew Jesus would suffer. He knew He would suffer because God so loved the world that He gave. He offered forgiveness. And He paid the price of unforgiveness. That's what Jesus did. He paid the price of separation. Unforgiveness equals separation. He paid that price that we may be separated. It pained him to do that. Love costs. That's why some of us pull back from loving, because we've been hurt and we don't want to be hurt anymore. So we'd rather not love. But we're empty. We're going to be disconnected. So God the Father loves us so much. Jesus suffered pain. And the Holy Spirit, knowing that when He would come, when that forgiveness was offered by Jesus and live inside each one of us, He would have to suffer. Love bears. That's why in 1 Corinthians 13 it says love bears all things. You cannot truly love until you can bear pain. I was supposed to meet the man's funeral, the guy who I did a funeral with yesterday. And he was meeting me specifically because he's lost his wife and his son to an overdose. And he couldn't bear. And he kept doing what he was doing because he couldn't bear the pain of carrying that. So he wanted to talk to me because I could relate with loss and pain. And I shared with them yesterday, and I'll share with you today. This is what I would have told him, and I wish I would have, because he died either that day or the day before, and I didn't get to meet with him. But we were going to meet specifically for the purpose of how do I deal with this kind of pain, and how do I move forward. And this is what I would have told him. I would have said, this is the deal. You will live with a broken heart. You have to learn to live with a broken heart, because you have to bear up under that pain and still carry on and still love others and still handle life if you're going to do it. And you have to acknowledge and accept that you have and will have a broken heart. And it's never going to be healed. And that's the beauty of Christianity, until that day of reunion, and then all the pain. That's why it tells us twice in Revelation. It says, in heaven, there will be no more crying, no more pain, no more death, no more sorrow. And then it says, in the new heaven and the new earth, when they meet again, that same phrase is used by God speaking to this prophet John. He says, there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death. No more death. There will never be that disconnect. The final reconnect is our bodies. And so God, heaven is that holding place until we come to that point. And then we will never be disconnected again. So from the point of God connecting us until that point takes place, the Holy Spirit's job is in the making of reconnecting us, teaching us all things, as we talked about last week. Teaching us is communication. Obeying is communication that's absorbed and applied. That's all prayer. That's all the ability to communicate. And that's His job, is in the process of reconnecting. He allows trials and all the other things that come our way to help us deal with that. Marriage is the perfect example. That's one of the reasons God says don't live together before you're married. Why? You're not connected. You haven't made the commitment. So what happens is you're in this relationship and everybody puts their best foot forward, right? It's the other foot that's the killer. It's the other foot that's the problem. See, with God, He knows the other foot. And with God, there is no other foot. He's got no damage He's trying to work out or recover from in this new relationship with Joe. He doesn't put the jacket of every other human being on me. He deals with me strictly with me, because He knows me. And He's intimately concerned with me. So intimately concerned, He lives in me. He doesn't look at me through your failures and your successes. He doesn't even compare me to the greatest nor the worst. We do all that. We compare ourselves to God's other kids. God, all God wants from you and me is to be the best version of you or me. That's all He wants. He thinks you're great. He made you that way. And your dirty stuff, He's cleaning up. And that's why it tells us this. What does it? In 1 John 1:9. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful. He's always faithful to us. He is always faithful. He would never say that's the word. No, that's a little too much. He will only say this, and He is not only faithful, He is just to forgive us our sins. So He will forgive us, reconnect the fellowship part. And He'll do it over and over and over and over again. Why? Because He loves us. So He has to bear the pain of hurt while He also keeps His heart open to forgiveness and to reconciliation. Not only that, He says He will cleanse us. He will clean us up from what we run into. That's a good God. That's a great God. I can go to Him with anything. I can talk to Him about anything. And He hears every word. He's not picking out bits or pieces. He hears every word. And He'll cleanse us from all wickedness. In Galatians 5:25, we're told this, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. The Spirit is holistic. He wants us healed in every part of our lives. Now, that final healing won't take place till we leave. But that is what He does in us. He is our comforter. He is our confidant. He is our advocate. He speaks truth. He leads us into all truth. See, now when I begin to form a love relationship, when we first come to Christ, it isn't born out of love, even though the Holy Spirit loves us and continues to speak love into our lives, we don't necessarily love Him. That's why He says, for praise and glory, God does it. So we lift up God, because then when we praise God, when we glorify God, that's a love relationship. That's why some of us in here, we're at the smoker's corner during worship, because loving Jesus ain't exactly where I'm at right now. I'm just trying to get over the fact God helped me with some of this stuff. And I'm still tripping on things. That takes a while to relationship. You know, anybody that says it was love at first sight, it ain't never love at first sight. It could be lust at first sight. Love takes, why? Because to truly love you, I have to truly know you and accept you. So when we love at first sight, it's we love the image of this person that they're presenting. And they kind of got their act together. That's why old love can never compete with new love. I've talked with couples that have gone through adultery. And one of them, they want to reconcile. But oftentimes the person who's involved in the adultery doesn't really want to give it up. Because it's new. It's exciting. It's fresh. Old love can never compete with new love. But new love has to become old love at some point. And if the things that didn't work in the old love, guess what? They're going to rear their head. And that old new love will be old love. So that's why one of the reasons I tell people, don't live together before you marry. You haven't even made the commitment. And then when you see that other foot, now it's an easier out. And you get to take that to the next place. And so look at us as human beings. There's probably not too many people in here that haven't been damaged in human relationships. Some of us to a much larger degree than others. You bring that with you. And you have it in your relationship right now. That's why some of us have this idea that, at some point in my life, I'll never be triggered by those things. I go, that point is after you're dead. What the Holy Spirit does is enable you to be triggered and not act upon it. To still respond in love. That's like saying, at some point, nothing will bother me. At some point? How about let's go for a day? You're going to see that that's a false belief. Jesus told his disciples, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. Why? With eternity. I will guide you and lead you. So, the Holy Spirit, people, my friends, is right with you if you have Jesus. Pray to him all the time. Talk to him. Tell him the truth. You can't lie to him. If you'll help me with this one time, God, I won't do it again. He's going, who are you talking to? I know your thoughts before you even perceive them. I know the beginning from the end. I know exactly where you're at. What are you talking about? Just tell me the truth. You're doing this and you like to do it. I get it. Do you want my help? Let's talk about the real. Do you want my help? Do you want to grow? What do you want? My hope when I talk to people is when they can start to ask them. I'll ask them a lot of questions. Why do you do that? I don't know. Well, you need to ask yourself that question. When you can ask yourself, why do I do what I do? One of the best questions you can ever ask yourself. Ask the Holy Spirit, why do I do what I do? Why do I act like that? Why does that trigger me so much? Why am I such a jerk? Why do I have such big expectations on other people? What's that all about, Holy Spirit? You know me. What's that all about? Those are the great prayers. Those are the outstanding prayers. You want to pray outstandingly? Ask the Holy Spirit, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? You know me. Help me. Teach me. I want to know. You know what? One of the reasons we don't know is we don't ask. Jesus said, if you want more of the Holy Spirit, ask for him. That's a prayer, asking for more. Holy Spirit, I want you to take over more of my life. That's a scary prayer. Holy Spirit, I want to do my life your way. Holy Spirit, I want to love my wife the way you love her. I want to love my kids the way you love them. Somebody asked me the other day. It blew my mind. They said this to me. It blew my mind. They go, Joe, having the new group of kids you're raising, you must really have a lot of patience. I said, are you kidding me? I said, all that's been exposed is I don't have any patience. I thought I was a patient guy. At 7, I found out on a clock, at 7 o'clock, no patience. Somehow it drains out. And the last hour and a half is, God help me. God help me be right. God help me, God help me. I know they need to brush the teeth. Just for this. I know they need to brush their teeth before they go to bed. But I don't want to take that extra minute. I got to brush his teeth. He's going to complain about, open your mouth, the three-year-old. Because his idea of brushing the teeth is suck the toothpaste off and then put the toothbrush down. Because nowadays, they have that great tasting kid toothpaste. They didn't have none of that when I was a kid. You may as well stick a bar of soap in your mouth. But these guys have strawberry, berry flavored. It's like eating candy. Can I have more? It's like, no, you're supposed to brush your teeth with that. See, I got no patience for that. That's just one little area. Oh, Holy Spirit, help me. And the Holy Spirit's always got to have patience with me. He didn't go, for God's sake, Joe, you're 60 years old. Get with the program of faith. He never does that, right? I think in my head, one more time. Aren't you glad the Holy Spirit never does that? He never does that to us. And he bears pain. Oh, he'll give us consequences. He'll let us run. He'll slow us down. He'll do what he has to do. But see, you get wiser when you walk with the Holy Spirit. So here's my question to you as we get going. Why doesn't the Holy Spirit just take away our ability to be disobedient? Why don't you just lift that out? Why don't you just lift out that sin part of me and just make it, we're good. We're always good. Why? Well, the reason is love suffers. You cannot truly love someone unless you're willing to suffer. If he were to take that out, there wouldn't be any love left. It would just be robots. So as the Holy Spirit is committed to us and will never leave us and will bear up, as I shared earlier, our stuff because of love, he says, now being made in my image, this is what you get to do. You get to bear up with the people that you are supposed to love. Well, who is that? Your neighbor. I have to learn to bear up with the failures of people. And always, it doesn't mean I have to put up with everything, because we don't have to do. Reconciliation requires two people making changes that make the relationship doable. But I have to maintain a heart of forgiveness like the Holy Spirit does. And I know people that, you know, they don't forgive God. God has allowed things to happen in their lives, and they do not forgive God for that. Not that God did wrong, because he didn't do wrong. He's got a bigger picture happening, and you'd have to walk in that knowledge. You have to walk in that wisdom in order to bear up. But they go sideways because they're mad at God and they won't forgive God. Or people won't forgive someone that did something in their past, and they'll never forgive that. It's like you just walk in brokenness then. That thing that you think you're holding hard and you're doing the right thing, it's hurting you. And that wall is going to be put up in other people's lives in your life. You take that into your other relationships. And if you do it once, let me tell you this, you will probably do it multiple times. And you will have a long list of people you don't forgive. I take people through a thing called the 7 Steps of Freedom, and it deals with spiritual, 7 areas of spiritual conflict we have. And the third area is the forgiveness area. And we have them, I have them write down every name. When we get to that place, they write down every name. We ask God to reveal every place in their heart, everyone in their heart that they are holding unforgiveness toward. And I'll tell you what, I've never had one person that has had less than probably 30, 40 names that God reveals to them. And we go through each name and we name what that person did. And not only what they did, but how it affected your life. What did that third grade teacher say that turned you from school? She embarrassed me in front of the whole class. I had one person say they wet their pants in school and they couldn't wait till recess or whatever, and they were too afraid to raise their hand, and they peed their pants, and that third grade teacher mocked them in front of the class. Here's a person, I don't know, 45 years old. That pain, and they associated it with education, has affected their lives in multiple ways. Anybody that laughs at them, they want to fight them. Any perceived rejection or put down, they want to do something about that. And they have this all. That is what we forgive. Not what the event was. The event is usually short term. The ramifications can be lifelong. Forgiveness puts us in there. And so we name what was done, we name what it did to them, and then we ask God, I forgive them for that. And then after we pronounce that and make that proclamation, then we ask God to heal the damaged place. See, because the damaged place cannot be healed until it's revealed. And so with unforgiveness, we're always covering the damaged places. And so what we do is we carry them with us. We'll carry them with us till we allow God to deal with it. And then we get what's called freedom. And now we can fill that place with something else. And then God comes in and heals it. So the Holy Spirit knows that. I would only know that about your lives. And even then, the Holy Spirit reveals it. We ask the Holy Spirit to do the revealing. But God knows that about each one of us. He knows every place in you. He knows the results of what happened when you were a teensy weensy. What happened in your 16-year-old relationship. What happened in your first sexual encounter. What happened if you were raped or molested or you name it. The Holy Spirit knows, and He knows the ripple effect of how that has affected everything in your life. So the Holy Spirit is grace-filled and compassionate. So He will reveal it as is necessary as you journey with Him. He will reveal it a little bit at a time to bring healing. He doesn't take the whole ball of wax, the whole bag of junk, and throw it out at one time. Deal with it. He loves you right where you're at. And He's promised to never leave you. And it grieves Him when He sees us walking in brokenness and continuing to make decisions out of our brokenness that is harmful to us and to others. It grieves His heart. And He works harder to try to bridge that. But it's a relationship. So if we push Him away, He will not leave us. But the relationship and communication gets broken. And this is the healing part, gang. As He heals our relationship with God, and as that heals, and as He deals with us in the God part, He starts to heal everything else in every area, the Scripture tells us. He starts to bring healing. Our first disconnect, that's why David, when he sinned, he says, I have sinned against You, Holy Spirit. He killed people. He sinned against them too. He sinned against other things too. He damaged His children. He did a lot of stuff. But when he recognized my first area of brokenness is with God, because that can never get fixed without God. That's my problem. So God, what do I do? Then we need the power of the Holy Spirit to say, I want You to go here and reveal this. I want You to do this and do that. Take care of this way. I want You to step out into a different career. You believe because you were told the story that after some point in time, that lie story became your own story. And you lied to yourself all the time. You got to get a different story. I want to prosper you. So that you can bless others. I want to bless your life, but you're so used to hearing a different story that you're afraid to go into some new thing because you have a life of failure and you've been told you're a failure. And you even have some history to back it up. But I'm in You now. I'm in You now. And we're going to fix this thing. But you got to listen to me and you got to obey me. And you got to trust me, because any relationship is born out of trust. You destroy trust in a relationship, you've destroyed the foundation. And for some of us, trusting God is the big deal, because that trust in people, places, and things has been broken. And so trusting God, we put Him down to our level as if He's not trustworthy, as if His no means He's going to deprive us of something good for us. That's the same old lie. Goes, no, if I tell you no, it's because I want to prosper you. And that, though it appears prosperous, is actually destructive. I want you to humble yourself to this person and say and own your stuff in the problem without making them own theirs. You just be a person of integrity yourself. Clean your side of the street. Yeah, but what about them? I'm the Holy Spirit. I got that figured out. Thank you. Yeah, but they're not doing it fast enough. Oh, Mr. Speedy yourself. Let's just worry about your pace. That's all prayer stuff, you guys. That's all prayer stuff. And you know what? If your kids are acting out, pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them as much as you scold them. Joe? No, really. So listen, I got one last verse for you. Psalm 116:15 says this, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." What? You know why that's precious? The Holy Spirit is done suffering with that person. They're done suffering. Like any good parent, when your child is done suffering, that's the greatest joy you can bring. So the Holy Spirit is promised to get us to heaven, and it's precious in the sight because the Holy Spirit never has to see that child suffer at the hands of someone else or even by their own hand. It's done. And that in God's eyes is precious. That's a good thing, man. You know, even though my son passed and I never wanted him to pass, never. But the thing is, I get that. Because one of the things that one of the thoughts that permeated my heart, and I actually felt guilty about it, is this. I said to Therese, I said, you know what? I wish Gabe was here, I really do. But he's not suffering anymore. He didn't suffer in his own head anymore. He's and what a relief. And this is the relief. I don't have to worry about him anymore. I don't have to worry about him. And that's what I equate that to with the Holy Spirit. I don't have to worry and work in this child. Now, he doesn't worry like us because he knows. But he's a human. I mean, he's a being. So it's done. So listen. Up until that point in time, you will need to learn to love and understand that in that love, you're a reflection of God. And that part of that reflection is also forgiveness, is also reconciling when possible, is also being open to our own failings in whatever it is we're doing. And asking the Holy Spirit on a regular basis. That's why Paul says, pray all the time. So in Titus, we're told, pray continually. Pray continually. Thessalonians tells us, pray all the time. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in words. Pray in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Connected to the Spirit. Pray all the time. We need it. We need it. Be thankful for that. And then ask the Holy Spirit to make you teachable. To humble your pride. To be okay with being weak. To be okay. Paul learned that lesson. He said, in my weakness, I learned that that's where my strength is. Wow, that doesn't even make sense. This is what makes sense out of it. When I'm weak, I ask for help. That's a blessing to me. So many of us don't ask for help because we don't want to appear weak. Yet you think that strength is somehow strong. It isn't. It's a massive weakness. It's a massive problem to you. It's a pride issue. And what happens after pride? We fall. Pride comes before a fall, Scripture says. So let's stand up. Anybody prideful, stand up. Oh, okay. So can I lead you in prayer? But before that, I need to, you know, throw this out there. Is there anybody that has not bridged that disconnect with God, and you need Jesus? You need to be connected again. You're out there and you need to be connected again to God. I want you to raise your hand now so we can pray with you, because that's where it all starts. Okay. All right. So let me lead you guys in a prayer. Amen. All right. So here, pray with me if you would. Lord Jesus, I confess I need you. And I thank you right now that you have reconnected me to God the Father. You have removed my sin, that sin that separated us. And I thank you. Even now, you have brought me into the family. I want you guys to picture that in your mind, being brought into the family. And then secondly, God, go ahead and pray that. Thank you for sealing me now with your Holy Spirit. Teach me how to live my life connected to you, connected to myself, connected to others, and fulfilling your purpose for me in my generation. Help me to be teachable. Then give me the power that I can walk out your teachings. Give me a desire to be better. And give me the mindset that in every area of my life, your work in me, your communication to me, is to help me. And I thank you for that. I won't resist you anymore. And I need your power to do that. Teach me how to love. Teach me how to forgive. By the way you love me. And the way you forgive me. Make that my example. That I may give it to others. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. God bless you guys. Have a great day.